For the last sermon that I'll preach in 1980, I want to preach, I guess, a different sermon than you've ever heard me preach in your life. Some time ago, the Lord dealt with my heart, and I feel like it was God. And I don't know why that I feel so strongly to preach this tonight, because it's not my usual style of preaching. But I love the United Pentecostal Church. I mean that. I love the United Pentecostal Church. I love the fellowship of my brothers and my sisters in the ministry. And I love the fellowship with all you wonderful Californians. I think back in 1971 or two, I made my debut into California. And I have enjoyed a wonderful, wonderful time of fellowship with all of you folks in the last few years. So here we go, Proverbs chapter 1. Before I read my text, Brother Elms, get me Luke 24:47. Brother Cash, get me Galatians 4:20. Brother Roski, get me John 10:32. And Brother Tim, get me John 14:9. Now that sounds like a lot of preaching, and it is. But some of you are begrudging the fact that you did not have a watch night service. So we might have one here. Hallelujah. Maybe not with me preaching, but I would to God there'd be such a move of God at the end of the service that we wouldn't have to call a watch night service, but we'd just be here. If you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. I want you to read this very closely with me. I'll read it out loud and you read to yourself, but read along with me. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now, in verse 2, he starts telling us what proverbs are for: to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Everybody say dark sayings. And then the first proverb: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I didn't say that, the Bible did. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Verse 8, and here's what I'm going to preach about. My son, hear the instructions of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. The instructions of father and the law of mother. Turn around and shake somebody's hand and say, you better help Brother Johnson preach. You may be seated. Solomon issued quite a few proverbs in his book. And I had always just read these proverbs and pretty well tried to take them at face value. Until some time ago, in my study and prayer and meditation, I noticed verse number 6. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. You know, in studying the Bible, I find that there is a lot that is written in between the lines. Glory. And in fact, some of the greatest messages of the Bible is in between the lines. They asked Jesus one time, said, why do you always teach in parables? And I'm going to put this in Johnson vernacular. He said, because those that don't want to know what I'm saying, I don't want them to know. But they that want to know what I'm saying, if they'll just stick around, I'll explain it to them. Holy. You don't know it, but Brother Cagle really relieved me a while ago. Brother Elms had already told me today that I had to preach a $2,000 sermon tonight. I said, man, I ain't got none of them. And I don't even have any of those. So Brother Cagle took care of it, and now I'm out from under the pressure. So I'm just going to preach a R.E. Johnson sermon. But he said, if they don't want to know what I said, I don't want them to know what I'm saying. But if they want to know, if they'll stick around a while, I will reveal to them what I've said. Glory. Some people never get the depths of what God's got to say because they don't stick around long enough to find out what he's trying to say to them. Some people will jump on that scripture in the book of Acts, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and they take it off and run with it. Just like chickens with a piece of bread. They'll grab up a piece of bread and take off with it and leave all the food down on the ground. They never stick around to see what he meant by believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so I began to study into these proverbs and I began to look for some dark sayings. what is written underneath and in between the lines. What is God really saying to us? Is this just a jambalaya of little fancy sayings that Solomon picked up and God put them in a big book just for pretty sayings? So I came to verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. And forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, if I take that just as it says it, it's pretty easy to grasp it. No problem at all. Listen to your daddy and don't forget and don't lay aside what your mama said. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But somehow Solomon said there's some dark sayings. I wonder if there is something in there that does not show up on the surface. Glory. I'm in no hurry. If you forget everything else I say while I'm here, I want you to remember this one tonight. Brother Webb, what is there that is hidden in the dark corners of hear the instructions of your father and forsake not the law of your mother? Well, who is your father? Felix Johnson. Now, that's no problem. I think that this scripture goes a little deeper than your earthly father. Amen. You shouldn't have to have the Bible to teach you that you ought to listen to your daddy. My daddy didn't need the Bible to teach me that. He didn't even have to have the Holy Ghost to teach me that. Glory. He had the fastest belt in the West. It seemed like he could just slap his belly and that belt would just jump out in his hand. Glory. Mama didn't have to have the Holy Ghost to get it across to me that I wasn't to forsake what she told me. I don't know how we ever had peaches. You got to have a limb for them to grow on. And I thought she used all the limbs whooping me with them. So I can't help but believe, Brother Cagle, that underneath this scripture, in the dark corners of it, God is saying something to us that goes deeper than just your earthly mama and your earthly daddy. Glory. Read John chapter 10. Verse 32.
Jesus answered them.
Jesus answered them.
Many good works have I showed you.
Is that 10:32? Let's find the right one. Is that the one I want?
10:32.
I want the one that said, Jesus said, I and my Father. 10:30. All right. It's not 10:30 time. That's the chapter and verse I want. Read.
I am my Father.
Jesus said, I and my Father are one.
Amen. Yes, yeah, that's what he said.
Totally. So if Jesus and his Father are one, then I've kind of got a notion that Jesus was the Father.
Amen. I believe it.
Glory. Hallelujah. Isaiah said, he is the everlasting Father. John the Revelator said, he is the Almighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So I believe that I would be safe in saying that Jesus is the Father. But you see, the Trinitarian people, and if there's any of you here tonight, I'm not being sarcastic, I'm just trying to help you. Some of them say, well, Jesus meant that he and the Father were one, like, husband and wife are one. John 14 and 9. Philip said, Lord, if you will just show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. Read 14:9.
Jesus said unto
him. Oh, come on, get with it, man.
Jesus said
unto
him.
That's it. Jesus said,
have I been so long time with you?
Have I been so long time with you?
And yet thou hast not known me.
And you still don't know who I am? Glory to God. Read.
He that hath seen me.
He that hath seen me.
Hath seen the Father.
Hath seen the Father. Hallelujah. Friend, when they looked on Jesus Christ, they saw the Father. Don't you look at Sister Johnson and tell her for 1 minute that when you saw her, you saw me. She will resent that. Jesus and his Father were not one, as husband and wife are one. But Jesus said, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father, because I am the expressed image of his person. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I think with two verses of scripture, I don't need to go on and on, because the Bible said, and I read it to you a while ago, about the wise will hear and increase learning. Glory. And a fool will despise wisdom and instruction. So if two verses is not enough to convince you, well, it's very doubtful that 100 would. But to everybody that two verses will convince, raise your hand and wave it and say, Jesus is the Father. Do you believe that? Let's lift up the other hand and thank him, because we got the revelation. Hallelujah. Jesus is the Father. Now he said, my son, hear the instructions of thy Father. Is this dark saying begin to lighten up a little bit? Now let's find out who the mama is. Luke chapter 12. 24, verse number 47.
And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name,
in Jesus' name,
among all nations beginning at Jerusalem.
And it's going to start in the womb of Jerusalem. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's going to start in Jerusalem. Everybody say, start in Jerusalem. Galatians 4:26.
But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all.
Glory.
So I've got Jesus as the Father, and what started in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost from above, the Bible said it's free, and it's from above. There came a sound from heaven like a rushing wind. So what happened in Jerusalem was the beginning of the mama. So I've got Jesus as the Father and the church as the mama. Glory. So now that we've turned on the lights into the dark corners of this scripture, this proverb, let's see what Solomon was really talking about. Glory. He said, my son, I want you to hear the instructions of thy father. Here it is. These are the instructions of the Father. And I want you to know what is written in this book. Hallelujah. Are the instructions straight from the throne of God? Hallelujah to God. They tell you how to live. They give you the principles of every facet of your life. And there is no question how to live when you hear the instructions of the Father. Now I thank God for the moving of the Spirit. I thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. I thank God for individual illumination and individual revelation that God gives us. But I want to tell you something. All illuminations, all revelations, all gifts of the Spirit must come under the heading of the instructions of the Father, or you can throw them out the window. They just not right. And when the Father instructs, you don't question it. A young girl came to the pastor of the church where I grew up. And she said, Pastor, would you help me pray about the will of God, whether I marry this man or not? And the pastor said, no, I won't pray. She looked at him so funny, and she said, Brother Bonnet, you won't pray about it? He said, no, I'm not going to pray a time for it.
she said, well, why? I want to know the will of God. He said, I'll tell you why. That man is a sinner man. He don't have the Holy Ghost. He's not living for God. I don't have to pray about the will of God because God has already given us the instructions about believers marrying unbelievers. Glory. Hallelujah.
I was pastoring my first church in Wood River, Illinois. And a man came. It was struggling. Man, we didn't have hardly anybody. If I'd have had the first three rows of this crowd tonight, I'd have thought I had a big crowd. I learned one thing in that church was to trust God for providing my groceries. This man came to my house one day and he sat down in the living room and he said, Brother Johnson, I've got a special request for prayer. I said, well, tell me what it is. He said, I've got some money. And I got an opportunity to invest it in some prospective oil wells in Oklahoma. And he said, I'll tell you what, Brother Johnson, if you will help me pray that this thing will succeed, he said, I'll pay my tithe. I was young. I looked him straight in the eye and didn't use one ounce of tact and no wisdom at all. But I said, I'm not going to breathe or even think the first prayer about that. He liked to drop his teeth. He looked at me and he said, you mean you won't help me pray? I said, not one prayer will I pray about such foolishness as that. He said, well, why? I said, because you're not paying tithe on what you make now. And you're telling me that if this succeeds, you'll pay tithe on that. First of all, I don't believe you. And secondly, I don't think it'd work because the Bible said that you don't receive because you ask amiss that you might consume it on your own lust. And he was asking just to feather his pocketbook and he wasn't interested in the work of God one bit. God has given us some instructions. I don't think you need to pray about whether you clap your hands and shout or not. He's already given you some instructions about that. In fact, he gave you some commands about it. Glory! I don't think we have to pray about whether it's the will of God to have revival or not. It's always the will of God to have revival. Hallelujah. You don't have to pray about the will of God for a growing Sunday school. It's always God's will for your Sunday school to grow. Praise God. Hallelujah. Folks, we need to get this Bible out and find out what God is saying to us in His Word. That is the instructions of the Father. You know, I'm alarmed sometimes. I'm really alarmed at how little our people read their Bibles. Whew. Did you know I could get real embarrassing in 1 minute here? Because I could ask you, how many of you have read a chapter in the Bible this week? Some of you are saying right now, please don't, Brother Johnson. It's amazing. Yet we won't, you know, we want to say, oh, we love God. When I was sparking my wife,
These young people don't know what sparking is. Hallelujah to God. I might tell you sometime. But we wrote letters every day. You know, I preached for Brother Webb when I was sparking her. Y'all wrote every day? We sure did. What'd y'all say? Well, that ain't none of your business. What in the world could you find to write about every day? Friend, when you're in love, you don't have to have nothing to write about. You could say Yankee Doodle and you'd enjoy it if it come from the one you loved. Just write a letter and sign it Yankee Doodle and oh, she'd get a thrill out of it. But I'd get a letter and just suppose that when I was preaching for Brother Webb, of course, it didn't happen like this. God in heaven knows it didn't. But just suppose I'd have got a letter from him. He'd have given it to me and I'd have took it in, laid it on the dresser and, you know, wouldn't have opened it. It didn't happen that way, did it? His wife come in to clean up the room and she'd, you know, say, go back and tell Brother Webb, something's wrong, Brother Johnson. He hadn't opened that letter yet. You know, ladies are always kind of nosy. Second day, no letter open. Brother Johnson, you pretty serious about that girl? Oh, you better believe I'm serious about her. Well, I just didn't know. Did you see the letter on your dresser? Yeah, I saw it. Well, you know, just wondering why. Oh, I'm going to read it. Go a week and had never opened the letter. Do you think really that you believe that I would love her? I don't believe you love God either if you let your Bible lay up for a week and don't read it. How are you going to hear the instructions of your father if you won't even read his letter to you? I want you to know, friend, this Bible is God's mail to his people. And he wrote it to us because he loved us. Now, I am for revival. I believe in revival. I believe in people getting the Holy Ghost. But I want you to know there was a whole lot more of the New Testament that was written to his church than was written to the unsaved people. God loves his church. And our people go and do things that they should not do. And then wonder why we talk against it. When if they had just read the instructions of the Father, they'd know that it shouldn't be done. Young man in our church went off and did something he hadn't thought of done. I'll just tell you what he did. He went and had an affair with a girl. And both of them were supposed to have the Holy Ghost. You heard what I said? Supposed to have it. You hadn't got a lick of it if you do things like that. He got under conviction and come and confessed it to me. I, without cussing, I mean, I laid it on him. I told him how disappointed I was, how sorry he was, how rebellious he was. And he said, but I love God. I said, you don't do it. You lying, and you know you're lying. He said, boy, you rough. No, I just knew who I was talking to. And then he started crying, and he said, Brother Johnson, you making it so hard on me. I said, well, do you think I can make it easy? He said, well, yeah. I said, I'm trying to do better. I said, well, the Bible said the way of a transgressor is hard. Now, if I make it easy on you, I'm going against the instructions of the Father. Hallelujah. You know what, preachers? Now, you can amen this or whatever you want to, but I think sometime we make living for God and getting back to God so easy that people just take God just loosely and throw him against the wall like a rubber ball and expect him to bounce back just when they get ready for him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother, I want you to know when God said the way of the transgressor was hard, I don't think we ought to try to make it easy for them. You know, we went through an age of psychology in rearing children. Do away with the belt, do away with the paddle in the school, do away with all discipline and just talk to them. Could it be that maybe we preachers got into a little of that behind the pulpits? Hallelujah. My wife, so she got off on one of these psychology kicks. And every time Jill would do something wrong, well, Jan, her mother, would call her in and sit her down and talk to her. Psychology. Finally, one day, her psychology run out. And Jill did something she hadn't ought to done. And before her mama could remember the psychology, she grabbed up a belt and tore her up with it. But just before she laid it on her, Jill said, "Talk to me, mama, talk to me, mama, talk to me, mama." I want to tell you something, my friend. You study the book of God and you'll find out that when people transgressed his instruction, he didn't make it easy on them. He made it tough. He made it rough. And then when they finally did get back to him, they wasn't so quick to run away from him again. You do not value very much that cost you nothing. Some of you parents, you think that you're being good to your little darling because you're letting them have their way and do what they want to. Well, I'm giving them all the things that I couldn't have when I was little. You're making a spoiled brat out of them that nobody is going to want to have anything to do with. I told you this would be different than anything you ever heard me preach. But I'm feeling this on my heart here tonight. Hallelujah. Friend, if you don't start in the early ages of making that young un shut up when you tell him to. Hush, darling. Hush, honey. But I want the baby. They're going to keep on and you're going to give them what they want. And they got sense. They're not stupid. You didn't raise any fools. They know if they'll keep crying long enough and loud enough that they'll finally get what they want. And they really know that you don't mean it when you tell them no. And you've lied to them so much about whipping, they're not afraid of your belt. I was in my daughter's house the other day, and I got a little old grandson. If y'all got about 4 or 5 hours, I'll tell you about my grandson. He's about 2 years old and spoiled as rotten. He is cutting up and carrying on and squealing and hollering and whining and bawling and squalling. She got so outdone. "Dustin, stop that now." And finally she looked over me in exasperation and said, "Daddy, what do you do now?" I said, "You want to know what I do?" I tan his hide. You see, you're raising your children to get every little thing they want, and if you don't give it to them, they'll pout till you do, and you're spoiling them rotten. When they start to school and come home with black eyes and bloody noses because they tried to have their way and those kids at school wouldn't let them do it, don't you go down there and fight the whole school. You just come home and say, I failed. It's my fault. And get somebody to hit you in the nose so you'll remember it next time. I didn't plan to give a lesson on raising kids. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just had a sneaking idea what Brother Elms was going to say when he is apologizing up here, and I felt just like getting up here and kicking him. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I think we ought to get tired of this apologizing business for everything. We need to get the instructions of the Father. The Father has instructed us on child rearing. He said, train up a child in the way he does. It didn't say tell him what to do. It said train him what to do. Training involves three things. Number one, telling him what to do. Number two is showing him how to do it. And number three is staying there and seeing that he does it. I didn't get trained to remember that 9 times 7 was 63 by just somebody saying 9 times 7 is 63. That was the hardest one of the multiplication tables for me to learn. 9 times 7. I just couldn't get that in my crawl. And they had to make us do races with it and all that kind of stuff. And it was over and over again. 9 times 7 is 63. 9 times 7 is 63. And brother, I was trained in that thing until now. I may forget all the rest of them, but I'll remember 9 times 7 is 63. You see, you train them up. You train them up. In our house when I was growing up, you did not eat fish and milk together. You just didn't do it. Fish and milk. They didn't hear me back there, so I thought I'd tell them. You just didn't do it. Boy, if Mama even caught us looking at the cream pitcher, you can't have it when you have, and that included tuna fish. She heard one time that somebody died when they ate fish and milk together. And brother, she didn't want none of us dying. So we didn't eat fish and milk. You say it won't hurt nobody. I know it. I'm not crazy. I know it won't. But when I come to your house, don't expect me to eat fish and milk. I'm not. I tried to eat it one time, and the condemnation made me sick. I was condemned for doing what I'd been trained all my life that I wasn't supposed to do. I'm telling you something, my friend. You can train those young ones of yours that they'll grow up and they'll know what they're to do and not to do. I think we'll just have a midnight service. Hallelujah. Did you know some of Sunday school teachers are scared to death to teach Sunday school? They're scared to discipline anybody in their class. You know who they're scared of? You. You. Not them sinner mamas and daddies. They ain't scared of them. They're scared of the saint mom and daddies. I had a brand new young man pray through in my church just a few weeks ago. And that old boy was rough. Oh, he come out of the world. He was rough. And he believes in law and order in the church. And he sits with the young people and there's a bunch of little old kids. And boy, we've got two or three there that are ringtail tutors. And they start cutting up in front of him, and he'll reach over and thump them on the head or something or other and kind of quieten them down a little. And the other night, I got a phone call from a mama. She's had the Holy Ghost for years. She She said, Brother Johnson, we got a problem. I said, what is it? She said, so-and-so, that boy, is getting on my kids for things that he's doing too. I said, well, what is it? She said, they was cracking their knuckles in church, and he told them to stop, and he cracks his too. Isn't that some problem? I said, sister, he's just young in the Lord. He's got so many other things I need to work on. I hate to get after him about talking to your kids about cracking their knuckles. I got to get him off of cigarettes. I got to get him weaned away from drugs. I got to get him to get a haircut. I got to get him to straighten up and fly right. And here you are worried about cracking knuckles. She ought to have been thanking somebody for making her kids stop that so they won't have old ugly knuckles. Hear the instructions of the Father. And forsake not. Listen to this. The law of thy mother. I believe that God has got some instruction for us. But I believe the mother has got some laws for us. You see, let's face it now. Who bears the majority of the responsibility of rearing the children? Huh? Come on, talk back to me a little bit. Mother. Now, it's supposed to be the responsibility of the daddy to bring home the bacon. But it's supposed to be the responsibility of the mama to cook it. And I won't get into all that because we'd be here till midnight tomorrow night. But it falls the duty of the mother to spend the most time with the children in rearing them and training them. And that mother cannot do it unless she has the authority to pass some laws herself. Because you see, when you're rearing kids, daddy can't remember everything that needs to be taken care of during the day. And so when he leaves in the morning, he may say, now, Jack, I want you to mow the yard, and I want you to take out the garbage. And he lays down the things for Jack to do and the things for Jack to not do. But during the day, if old Jack's a normal boy, he's going to come up with some things that his daddy didn't cover. And that mama is going to be in bad shape if she don't have the authority to make some rules to cover that the father didn't cover. Glory. So mama has the authority given by God to make rules. Now I believe that everything that happens to us as human beings, God covered it in his instructions in principle. But I believe that there are some things that he did not cover verbatim, word for word. I am so sick of hearing people, show me that in the Bible. Give me chapter and verse. Friend, let me tell you something. There's a lot of things that we have to deal with in this world today that was unheard of in the Bible. I can't give you one verse that says, thou shalt not have or watch in the motel, at the neighbor's house, or anywhere else, television. I can't give you a chapter and verse that says that. Now, I can give you something that's pretty close. I will set no evil thing before thy eye. Your eye affects your heart. Give no place to the devil. Shun the very appearance of evil. Now, that's chapter and verse. It doesn't say television. Because back in those days, they didn't have television. So God moved in a dark saying and said, hear the instructions of your father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Several years ago, Mama got together and decided that it's best. Hallelujah. For the ministers to not have television. And since we believe against so many of the things that are portrayed on television, we advise, and I'm not quoting verbatim, but it's pretty close, we advise that the saints not have one. Sweet little old mama, trying to reason with her children. But when children won't listen to reason, I don't think you ought to whip your kids the first time you tell them don't do something. I think you ought to reason with them a little bit. If they're reasonable. So, Mama Church tried to reason with her children. But some were hard-headed and rebellious and stubborn and carnal and worldly. And they went ahead and had them anyway. So it finally got to the place that Mama had to pass a law. And when you forsake the law of your mama, the law of the church, you are in trouble with daddy. Glory! Now I know that G.T. Hayward, Brother G.T. Hayward, Elder G.T. Hayward, one of probably the most quoted men in Pentecost. I've seen pictures of him. I didn't ever know him personally, but I've seen pictures of him, and he had a full mustache. I guess George Washington had long hair. And I've seen some of our old pioneers that had beards. Pictures of them. Are they sinners? I wouldn't think so. Now these brethren up here, they may be smarter than I am. But I just off the top of my hat, I don't know of any chapter and verse that says it's wrong to have your little fuzz duster up there. But somewhere, when the rebellious hippie movement come in with their long hair, nobody wore their hair long until the hippie movement come along. The long hair of George Washington, the mustaches of G.T. Hayward, and the beards of some of the old pioneers, they left. I don't know where they went. Maybe they got under conviction, shaved them off. I don't know. Some of them might have died when the people died. But somewhere down, back down the road, I can remember I've seen some hairdos on men here. And I can remember when I went to Richardson to pastor the church in Richardson, Texas in 1970. The principals was sending kids home from school to get a haircut, and their hair was no longer than some of the men's hair that I've seen here. The long hair, the mustaches, and the whiskers on men today. I know they're not long and stringing down their back. They've got a little better. And I know their whiskers are being trimmed up, and they kind of keep them trimmed up a little. But all that is a compromise rebellion. Mama, go to your pastor and ask him, is it all right? If he thinks it's plumb all right for you to have a beard and a mustache and hair hanging down over your ears. And if he tells you it's all right, you tell him to come see me and we'll pray for him. Those things are not the accepted norm of the mother church today. The mother is against those things. The Bible doesn't necessarily say thou shalt not have a mustache, but mama. Mama has got some laws. I can't give you chapter and verse that said thou shalt not wear shorts, gaucho breeches, or mini skirts, or split tail skirts. I can't give you any chapter and verse that says you ought not to do that. But I tell you what, I can tell you, mama's got some laws against it. The church is against it. Hallelujah. I saw our first girl come in making with a little split right up the side, and I started to nip it in the bud right then. I said, now look, girls, I saw a split tail dress here tonight, and I just want to tell you, it's got faults in it. They ought to put it on the sale because it ain't right. They run out of thread and Dennis didn't finish sewing it up. And if you don't have the money to buy some, well, I'll give you the money to buy a spool so you can finish your dress. That one left and we ain't got no more. The girl didn't leave, but the split tail dress did. She's still there loving God and living for the Lord. Because you see, wise people, they hear instruction and they get understanding. But fools won't listen to none of it. I'm fixing to get in real deep water and I'm liable to just drown right here. If I do, somebody please pull me up so I can get out of here Friday morning. I'm hearing a lot about schools. And I thank God for schools. But I hope and pray to God that we never see the day that we go into competitive sports. I'm not saying it's wrong. Boy, it's quiet now. I'm not saying it's wrong to get out and kick a ball around or knock one around. One of my good friends in Louisiana's got one of the best schools I know of. He called me one day and asked me what I thought about it. I said, I think it's good. Get all your schools together. Have some fun. But instead of each church taking a team, just get all the boys together and let them choose up. I don't know where that... Yeah, I do. I know where it comes from. Just choose up. Oh, it's no fun that way. You know why it's not? Because you're following the pattern of the world. And mama, Hear me, Mama? I live in Georgia, way on the East Coast. I'm not trying to set rules for California. But since we're all part of Mama, why don't we nip that thing in the bud and get it stopped now? Because how are you going to tell your children that go to public schools, and some of your kids don't go to your school. Some of them goes to public schools. How are you going to keep them off the ball teams in the public schools when you got a ball team in your school that's playing every Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes along? Oh, well, we're Christian. Boy, I've seen kids almost fight out on the youth campgrounds playing ball. And I've seen some preachers get mad with them. Glory, glory. Well, let's see, what else can we get on? I'm going to leave something for you pastors to preach. But my young people don't go to skating rinks. Not even for birthday parties. Glory, boy, I'm getting a lot of help from the sidelines now. Mama has the authority to pass some laws. And when Mama passes those laws as a body, I believe Daddy is going to stand behind what Mama does. If he's a good daddy, he's going to stand behind Mama. My daddy was a drinker. My dad lived a very undesirable life. He was not a Christian. But there was one thing that my daddy did. When Mama told us kids to do something, we didn't sash. We didn't back off. We did what Mama told us to do. Our daddy would backhand us, slap across the room. Because he stood behind. And I'm going to tell you mamas and daddies something. You are making errors when one of you disciplines a child and the other one pets him up. Say, well, he ought not have done it. Tell him in the bedroom. I want to tell you something, my friend. Daddy Jesus is a good daddy. And Mama Church is a good mama. And they work together. Hallelujah. The church enforces the instructions of the Father, and the Father enforces the laws of the Mother, and they work together as a team. And I want to tell you something. Our Daddy Jesus and our Mama the Church is getting a group of people ready to leave this old world. And one of these days, we're going to be presented as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, listen to me. I do not understand all of the don'ts and the do's of the United Pentecostal Church. I really don't. And I'm not even going to say that I agree with all of them. Now, I don't have to get as loose as they are in places. Just because somebody else is loose, that don't mean I got to get loose. But I have no right to get any looser than they are. But I remember when I was growing up, and some of you heard me tell this before, but it fits good. I think I'll tell it again. Young man, growing up on the campground in Louisiana. Kind of a custom in those days that we wear sleeves with a couple of cuffs in them. Now, listen to me. Everybody say this with me now. Brother Johnson, don't believe that's a sin. Now, if you go off and tell people that I preached that was a sin, you're lying. But it was a custom. We just, young men just did that, you know. It's kind of comfortable. You don't have that binding sleeve on there when you raise your arm to kind of choke the blood out. But I was, well, if y'all think it's rough nowadays, y'all will come up when I was coming up. Under some of those old pastors that I come up under. Huh. Old Brother Echols wrote a book one time on lying. I read about half of it and got scared to open my mouth. Amen. I got out of school. I got a little graduation ring I paid $13 for. Helped my brother build his whole house and got $13 so I could buy my graduation ring. Man, I was so proud of that thing. And God loved that bunch of saints' heart. They didn't wait for the preacher to get it off of me. They got it off of me. But I had my sleeves rolled up, and I was walking across the campground. One of the preacher brethren walked up alongside of us and said, this is all he said. Boys, y'all look more like preachers if you roll your sleeves down. That old square. That old fanatic. I ain't going to roll my sleeve down. Give me chapter and verse for that, brother. Show me in the Bible where it says it's wrong for me to wear my sleeves like that. If you think that's what we did, you are squirrely. Nutty as a fruitcake. We put them down. Several years later, I drove on a campground in Illinois. I was riding in a car that didn't have an air conditioner and had the windows rolled down, and we had traveled for quite a distance, and I had a couple of cuffs in my sleeves, and I drove on that campground and crossed the cattle guard growing into the campground. It was almost like going through a C&I door. Put your sleeves down. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he gets old, he won't depart from it. Hallelujah. Fanatics, I don't understand a lot of these things, but I'll tell you what. I am not going to nitpick because it could be that it is wrong. And I'd rather give up too much and be sure than to give up too little and not be enough. Hallelujah. 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 If mama the church would tell me that I ought to wear one shoe on my left foot and go barefooted on my right, if that become a law of mama, I'd spend the rest of my days with one left shoe on and one off. That's crazy. Yeah, but it'll just be crazy a little while, because one of these days, pretty soon, I'm going to get out of here. Glory to God. And then I'll wear golden slippers, I guess. That's what they're saying about. Hallelujah. But let me tell you something. When mama says it's wrong, let's abide by it. And God will bless you for doing it. Now, you know what mama's favorite saying was? When we did something that was a little too hot for her to handle, she'd say, son, I'm going to tell your daddy when he comes in this evening. Amen. I'm going to tell your daddy. Now, friend, I had rather my mama whip me 10 times than for daddy to even think about whipping me once. You better be glad to let the church handle your problems. Because if she ever turns you over to daddy and she ever reports it to father that you have not obeyed her, he's going to stand by mama And brother, it's going to be too rough to plow. I want to tell you this, and then I better quit. Now let me tell you two more things, and I'll quit. Get Ephesians 4, 11, and 12 right quick. We're not midnight yet. Get Ephesians 4, 11, 12. I'm preaching about the same time I always preach. They just give me the service later tonight. Somebody get it. Okay.
And he gave some apostles.
And he gave some apostles.
And some prophets.
And some prophets.
And some evangelists.
And some evangelists.
And some pastors.
And some pastors.
And teachers.
And teachers. What for?
For the perfecting.
For the perfecting
of the saints.
The mama church uses the instruments of the ministry to perfect the children, the saints of God. Brother, when that pastor of yours teaches something, you better not go off and pass your own little personal opinion. Whether you agree with it or not, that is mama's instruments to perfect you with. When that evangelist comes along, it ain't none of his business. Yeah, it is. God may use that evangelist to deal with a problem in your life that he did not use the pastor to deal with. Sometime God would use a man from Georgia to deal with a problem in you ministers that maybe your superintendent or your secretary or your presbyter has not felt led of God to deal with yet. But God would send an evangelist all the way from Georgia for the perfecting. A young boy went off to college. His daddy died in a tragedy before the boy ever really knew his daddy. His mama was in a fire before the boy was ever old enough to know what really happened. She just told him that she was in a fire. She was all beaten and scarred. Her ears were nearly burned off. Her nose was nearly burned off. Her face was one solid scar. She was horrible to look at. But she loved that boy. She took in washings. She took in house cleanings. Everything to rear that boy. She never remarried after the death of her husband because she was such a horrible thing to look at. No one wanted to marry her. So she raised that boy alone. She sent him to school and on off to college. And it came graduation day and all of the parents were invited to come to the graduation at the college. All of the other students was happily awaiting the arrival of their parents. That mother had wrote her son and said, "I don't know, son, if I'm going to be able to come or not, but I'm going to try. But I don't know if I can get up the money to come." In his heart, that young man was hopefully wishing that his mom would not come because he was literally ashamed of her. It came graduation night and all the other children's parents were there. And that boy looked and coming up the steps was his mom and he ran and hid. The graduation proceeded. They got their diplomas. He was now a graduate from college. There was no way that he could escape his mama because all the parents were out in the lobby waiting for their children to come out. And she stood with all the rest of the parents so proud that her son had graduated. But when he walked out, it was not the son that she expected and hoped to see. It was a boy angry in almost hysterics. He walked up to her and with anger in his voice said, "Why did you come?" ashamed of you. Look at all these other parents dressed up. Beautiful. Look at you. Why did you come and ruin one of the best days in my life? That little old mama began to cry. Rightfully so. He shoved her aside and started to walk away. And she said, "Son, wait. Wait. I know you're ashamed of me and maybe I shouldn't have come. And I had thought that I would never tell you this, but I think I should tell you. And then I'll walk out of your life forever." She said, "Son, you see these little nubs that's supposed to be ears? You see this horrible nose that is supposed to be a nose? You see all these scars on my face? Yeah, I see them, and that's why I'm ashamed of you." She said, "Son, when I was a young girl, everybody said I was attractive. But when you were just a baby, our house caught on fire. Your dad was trying to get some things out, and he burned to death. I ran into your room where you were. I threw my own clothes around you and wrapped you up. And I ran through the flames to save your life. But," she said, "I wasn't so fortunate. I got these scars saving you from death. I just thought you ought to know." And she turned and started to walk away. But the boy broke down and said, "Mom, Mom, wait. I never knew that those scars were for me." Shall we stand? In the day of judgment, and if we could look around even now at our mama, the church, I believe that you would find that she has many scars that's been put there trying to save us. Trying to save us. I look back, Brother Elms, and I once knew men that loved God. But somehow they failed to love their mother church like they should. They failed to love Father Jesus like they should. They went off and did things wrong, and they got in the fires of temptations and trials and tests. And the church waded in the fire to try to save them. She came out with scars. Scars. We've got a woman in our church. She was a real devil before she came to God. She has an illegitimate child. She lived an awful life of sin. People that knew her, her own mama and daddy and family had wanted nothing to do with her. But the church waded in the fire and pulled her out, gave birth to her. She's living for God now. In fact, when I left Macon, she was visiting her folks, and now they love her because the church pulled her out of the fire and changed her life around. But you see, sometime when we reach out and get that kind of people, we bear scars, and the world says that Pentecostal church don't have anything in it but trash. And we carry scars. But if you're ever saved, it's because the church has waded in the fire and pulled you out. Oh, Holy Ghost, talk to us tonight. Melt us, God. Oh, God. She may not be beautiful because she's got so many scars. But she's waded through the fire to save you and me. Oh, church, I love you. Setoromo kotoramana ielo koramania santoyolan tomong yan de kendo koromota enisalato atayanoko inundu ramanukun tiandu sutarokotamanta yalabushan arokan aniyamo kotayata iladoromo sata aniyotta yotelemo konam atiyasu ilimosa yekantu atimositiloko. If thou couldst only know the price that has been paid, that you could have what you've got tonight. If you could only realize the blood that was shed, the tears that were spilled, the hearts that wept and cried so that you could have this experience in your life. If you could only know how much I love you and how much you mean to me, you're my children. If you can only realize that when you do the things that are wrong, how it hurts me and the church, you would love us more and you would respect us more and you would honor us more. My children, love me tonight. I am your God. Love me. I just want to be loved. Hallelujah. Look at her scars. She loves you. Hallelujah. I want everybody to move up to the front. Don't anybody stand right where you are. Move up some anyway. You that are up close, move right in close to the platform. Don't stop in the aisles. When it fills up down here, we'll move in between the seats, but I want everybody down here close. We're going to honor our father and our mother tonight. I love you, church. I love you, church. I love you, mama. I love you, daddy. Love your father, church. Love your mama. Oh, this is beautiful. This is so beautiful. Hundreds of children loving their mom and their dad. Let the tears flow. Wrap your arms around mama's neck and love the church. Tell Daddy Jesus that you love him.